Mense, dit is verskriklik, veral as jy by baie van die gereformeerde kerk kom, more reformed churches, oh, it's a battle, but God is everywhere. Amen. So, ek wil net gou sien, hoeveel 60 babies is hier vanoggend? Ja, ek het net so feeling gehad, man, dit was die tyd, en dit is net jammer, ons was so ongered daai tyd. Yes. Ek sit nou vanoggend, terwyl ons sit in daai musiek, nou probeer ek so om my kyk, maar ek wil nou nie ongeskik wees, ek wil nou kyk wie is op die stoele, vooral van die vrouwens nou, dink myself, maar daai tyd, as hierdie muziek opgekom, is allemaal op die tafels. Ons moet dit vir die Heer ook doen. He, stem julle nie saam nie. So nou volgende sondag, as julle nou gaan onthou wat ek gesê het, op die stoele. Ja, dit is vir my lekker om hier te wees. Kom ons, maak het gauw die oor toe. Lord, I just want to thank you for this amazing, amazing privilege this morning with Biker Church. Lord, I feel so at home. And Lord, while we were worship, I just feel there's a special there's a double anointing here this morning, Lord. And we want to be soaked in it this morning. We want to be saturated in your love and your word this morning, Lord. As you're going to bring restoration in lives this morning. Lord, you started early yesterday with me already, bringing again restoration. So Lord, I just want to give over to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Kan ek om ons so mingle en mix? Okay, there's English speaking people here, I believe. Maar allemaal verstaan Afrikaans, ek doen meeste van die tyd Engels, waar kom ek vandaan, miskien mense wil altyd weet, waar kom hierdie ou nou vandaan, ja, ek was so 31 jaar in die politie, ek is nou so 8 jaar uit, ek was die grootste gedeelte van my tyd, was ek in die dwelm eenheid, organized crime, ja, en ek onthou daai jare, was dit nie soos vandag nie, die ouwens een bykie dagga en, daai goede was, nie dat dit nou beter is nie, maar as ek ook kyk, die kinderkies nou, ek is by life coach nou, en ek is by die school, hy het my die vrydag gebel die toets gestuur, ek my maandag, Christel met, graad 6 meisiekie, voor die examen, het iemand daar gekry, terwyl sy dit snuif, en nogal een van die topskole in die omgeving. Ek dink is seker die lekkerste tyd van my lewe gewees, is toe ek Jesus gevind het. I gave my life to the Lord when I was a child, and I always have to bring it back to this area, because I never liked Vereniging Meyerton. I'm staying in Meyerton now. Even in the police time, I just came in hit and run. I came in, I have meetings with my people, and I went back to the concrete jungle, as we call it, that side. And I could never understand why. But when I was 13, God really healed me, not far from it, behind the hospital in Vereniging. What's the hospital's name? Mediclinic. I was 12, turning 13, and I had a heart defect, a leak heart, as a result of a rheumatic fever. And I was busy dying. They said my life maybe around about 16 to 18. And at 13, there was a Dr. Brown from America that time here, and he prayed. That day, I saw a miracle, but not the miracles that we tend to get excited about. I saw as a 12, 13-year-old young boy, I saw somebody that had no arm, right arm, just had three little fingers. And when Dr. Brown asked him, do you believe Jesus can heal you? He said, yes. He said, stretch out your arms. And I saw the two arms coming forward. And right after that, he said, there's people with heart defects. Place your hand on your heart. And he prayed. And I felt this warm sensation. That week, I went back to my heart specialist, and I had a complete new heart. And I give all the glory to the Lord. But can you believe it? Then something happened. Then the enemy got it right to say, listen, you were the rejected in schools, because as a result of the rheumatic fever, I had a skew eye looking into my right hand's nose. I was freckles all over. Can you believe it? I had this, now my hair's all standing up. At that time, it was not really part of fashion. Ek het die kroinkies gehad, nah. So I was not a sight to look at. I couldn't walk 10 meters, then I was out of breath. That was my life, rejected, and you know, it's almost, and then discouragement came in my life, but you know what, you heal now, but I thought it was, I was setting the bar up, now I could play rugby, I started boxing, I started doing sport, and I lived a life full for the world and forgot about my healer. At the age of 39, 40, for those who want to, I'm turning, I'm 40, 57 now, and when I was 40, I was at home here at the top of my career. I was head of the, I started witness protection program in South Africa. I was heading the witness protection program. I was at home, and there was suddenly an emptiness in me. And I just felt, but why am I living? I don't want to live. Can you believe that? I had all, a 300E Merc, state vehicle, I had everything. And I took my pistol and I tried 15 times and not one. All I remembered when I was finished, there was 50 rounds laying on the ground. 16, there was one up as well. And just before I did it, I said, Lord, if you're there, you stop me. And that's where my life actually started. And that's what I want to speak to you this morning about. It's discouragement. Was it ontmoedig? Is that the right word? Hey? Ontmoedig. Hoeveel van julle in julle lewe was al ontmoedig? Het al, dis net 2 of 3, ek dink almal wat hier sit, nou. Nou praat ek, ons moet onthou, discouragement is a very special, the Hebrew word, maar miskien voordat soon toe gaan, ek het vir julle een verskrik, die versie, toe ek hierdie versie sien en ek lees, toe sien ek bikers. Jy weet daar in die Bybel is baie versies, julle behoort te weet, nou daar in Job 30 vers 22, dis in die Easy Standard Version, of the English Standard Version, nou. Hy sê, you lift me up on the wind, you make me ride on it, and you toss me about in the roar of the storm. As altyd as ek hy Harley is, ek is a Harley fan, sorry vir julle, ek weet, julle gaan over my sê, ja, julle Harley ouwens, die verskil is in Harley en die superbike is die muggies op die visor, Harley sê, sy achter op die badge die muggies, nou, maar is ok. ek wens dit ek kan onbekostig. Wow, man. This is something about the sound. It always, especially now, where I'm sold out to the Lord, it's that feeling, you know, that vibration underneath you, that roaring sound that these other mosquitoes don't have. I'm just joking. The Hebrew meaning for discouragement, listen to this, maybe then more hands will go, is frustration. It is to hinder. Discouragement is an attempt to stop something from happening. It is a downheartedness. It's no confidence. It's hopelessness and depression and desperateness. You know, you come to a place where you serve the Lord and everything, but there comes a day in your life where you just feel, but why am I feeling like this? Lord, why don't you heal? Why don't you uplift me? Why do I have to feel so sad? Why is my bike always broken? Why is my car always, why isn't my electricity my... And you just started, and where does it come all? We need to remember one thing, is that when Adam sinned, not Eve, wasn't about Eve, you know that, because Adam was placed in control and in authority. And when he sinned, he gave away cargo and transport to the enemy. And I want to tell you something today. If you serve the Lord and you think it's going to be an easy ride, then you're at the wrong place. You see, we must always remember that if you come at a place where you are not discouraged anymore and you don't feel downhearted sometimes, you may be at a wrong place with God, because Satan only focuses on those who's going to have an impact in life. So when things are going bad with you, no. Sometimes don't ask God, because when something goes wrong, we always ask God. Why? Why don't you? And if we do something wrong, we give Satan the fault. Isn't that true? You see, this brings us to a place with all the whys. Why, when, where, who, God? You see, the moment you start acting like that and asking questions, it's not about God anymore. It's not about Father. It's all about me. You see, there's a thing about the ego that destroys us. If we want to know, sometimes we ask the question, what is an idol? There can be many things can be an idol. People has got all sorts of definitions, but I want to explain to you something that you are expecting something from. You've got an expectation. So even sometimes God can be made an idol in our lives. If we only serve God because we've got this list of things and expectations we want from Him. You see, there's a story that I heard one day, is that Satan was busy having an auction, selling some of his tools, the tool of hate, of pride, of depression, of rejection, and we can go the list as long. And somebody asked him, but there's one there. Why don't you sell that? This was his reply. He said, I cannot afford to auction up that one. It's called discouragement. He said, that is my master key to unlock any heart. And once I'm inside, I can do anything. You see, once a person is discouraged, anything can go wrong and will go wrong. You know what? And I think specifically we are sometimes have such high expectations for ourselves. Ons het soveel verwagtinge vir onsself as Christene, want die kerk baie keer daar buite stel hierdie verwagtinge moet so, moet nie so nie en al hierdie dinge en ons weet nie hoe gaan ons daarby bly nie. That's one of the reasons I didn't go to church because I knew I was not good enough. So I was discouraged by things that were actually done good in my life, but Satan used it against me. You see, I want to read this again. I said it earlier. If you are under attack, remember Satan only attacks when you can make an impact. No impact, he will not waste an attack to discourage you. You see, now we sometimes think, but is it only me? If we go back to the Bible, the greatest guardsmen in the Old Testament and New Testament were discouraged. Let's take John the Baptist. He's sitting in a very dark place in jail. I think it's John 11. In Matthew 11. And he sends a message with the disciples to Jesus to ask him, Jesus, are you the one or must we look out for someone else to come? This is the same John the Baptist that said, there is the Son of God. Him that comes after me is much, much mightier and greater than me that I'm not even worth to tie his shoelaces. That same man was in such discouragement that he suddenly was at a place where he doubt God. Another one. What about Job in Job 3? He was so discouraged that he said, God, why did I not die the day of my birth? And I was at a place like that. You know what, I always, if maybe you ever thought you had family members, people that suicide, and you wonder what's going around, what's in a person's mind, I tell you, that's such a bad place that you are actually at peace. That day I remember, I was so calm. I was at peace when I tried to do that. The next one, Isaiah. I don't want to stand still with Isaiah a little bit. Now remember, in Isaiah, Elijah. Elijah comes and there's no rain for 3 years. And he had to meet King Ahab. Actually, can you imagine how tough it was for him as a prophet? Most of the prophets were killed already. He was one of the only ones left. A few of them left. And here comes the order. He has to go to Ahab and speak to him. And he did. And it ended up in this competition and almost challenging each other. Right, you bring 450 Baal priests as well as 400 of the prophets and priests that were sitting at the table of Jezebel. See, 400, there was 850 actually that day. 400 of them was special ones that were sitting with Jezebel around the table, eating with her, And when you know what happened on the mountain, imagine this. There's one man, there's this 850 cutting themselves, making noise, nothing happens, and he says, okay, but now you bring as much water as you want, and you just fill up the place. And God, one prayer, sent fire. And everything was devoured. Even the stones. Nothing was left unto. Now, that same Elijah, after that, outrun the carriage of the king. Now imagine those days, he had the fastest. He had the 1300 cover. Hey, can you know that Eddie Lawson, the 1300 cover? It was my enige, ek het enige. Ach man, daai jare was ons, ek weet nie wie van julle ken die Westerland nie, die Red Hat Riders, die Van der Sands, die Red Hat Riders, die Wild Bunch van Krugersdorp. And you know what? He outrun that carriage. He outrun that chariot. And he was an old man already. Outruns. And then Jezebel heard the following. She heard that what he did to her priest and the Baal prophets. What did she do? She sends a message to Elijah and says, listen, you have killed my prophets. I am going to kill you. And suddenly, discouragement came into his heart. And what happens? That same greatest prophet in the Bible that just outrun, that just had seen the fire, God has sent the rain, he saw that small cloud of like a man's fist, he runs into the desert and he hides under what? Did you read some of the translation? It was actually a broom bush, no? A brambos. A besembos, no? And it onder die besembos gaan wegkruip. In despair, depression, downhearted, hopeless. This same great prophet that have just slaughtered and killed 850 of these priests. So if you sit here this morning, and I sense today when I came in, because I'm getting this well, that there's so many of you, because there's finances, there's family, there's politics, there's so many things at the moment going on that we have to deal with, that it's so easy to get to a place like that. The biggest mistake Elijah made when he ran into the desert was not running away. It said, and he left his servant behind, his support, the one shadowing him, the one that's looking after him. He left him behind. Now that is a bad place to be. And sometimes we get there where we reject. The moment that we feel in that moments of despair and disappointment and depression, we always reject the ones closer to us. Isn't that what happens in life because of our expectations? You see, when we come to church in the morning, there's an expectation in my heart. What is my expectation? Is my expectation to have an interact or a special meeting or whatever with God that morning? Because sometimes we want to feel it. You see, we're emotional beings. We want to feel the fire. We want to feel the breeze. We want to feel that God is there. And that's our expectation. And when we come into church, we don't feel it. We are disappointed. And disappointment equals discouragement. What about our families? How many of us here today have children that in school, was in schools, and we have an expectation for our child? You have an expectation that your child will serve the Lord like you did, will not do what you've done when you were a bad rider on a bike. And when you were part of this scum, as people call us. And now you will not. And we've got all this list of things, and we've set the bar so high for our child that when reality hits in, our child doesn't meet up to our expectation. And we are disappointed. And that makes us discouraged. And that's where we start becoming parents. That's putting pressure. Because remember now, the day that you saw your wife, Dad, can you remember what she looked like? What she smelled like, where it was, and how it made you feel when you saw her. That butterflies, die gedagtes wat weghardloop. And moms, you sitting here, the same thing happened to you when you saw him. Maybe the muscles, the tall, the size of the bike that he had, and everything. You think, wow, this is my man. He's the man. I can just see that this man is a man that's going to look after my children. He's going to love me unconditionally. And the day you got married, because that's your expectation. That's the same expectation that Elijah had. Elijah thought God has sent the fire. Why doesn't God send the fire to just kill Ahab? That was his expectation, not God's. So what happens now with me and you? Now suddenly we come in real life and our wife doesn't cook as well as my mom does. She does not love me as much as I thought. And what happens? There's a gap. And what's that gap called? That gap is called pressure, disappointment, discouragement, and that ends into a word that I hate, fear. And I want to tell you today, if you sit here and you have problems in your marriage, or in your family, and you have relationship problems with your children, it's sometimes about your expectations. Because when it's about my expectations, it's about my ego. It's not about God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ anymore. Amen? And the moment that happens, we fall into discouragement. And that's where Satan wants it. You see, he's got one plan for those who are saved and those who are not saved. He wants to keep us away from the unsaved so he can keep them unsaved. And us, he wants to keep us vessels that cannot be used, that are discouraged. That are discouraged. It's almost like a bike. Most beautiful bike outside. If you remove just the plug, it cannot move. Can't go anywhere. And sometimes it will take somebody that's not very technical, myself, a long time to figure out what's wrong. And in those days, one of my first bikes was kickstarts, man. It was tough. You had to kickstart, and nothing wants to happen. So how do we normally deal with discouragement? You see, discouragement comes in with anything negative in life. It can be problems in your relationship. It can be at the workplace that brings in feeling of unhappiness. You see, that is the result of discouragement, that you're feeling unhappy in your situation, in your context where you are living, in your context of your home. You don't feel happy, you don't feel safe as a wife, as a child. You feel your parents don't love you, you're not good enough. That's what I hear every day when I go to schools. In my career, I think I've already visited close to 4,000 schools in South Africa. And what happens, that's what I hear every day, I'm not good enough for my dad. I don't know what it's like to sit on my dad's lap and hear the words, "You are good enough, my son, my daughter, I love you." You see, and that's also an expectation from the child. And if we don't meet that as parents, they go the same way. And when that happens, now there's a very scientific thing that happens to the brain when there's no happiness. When you're not happy, it's actually a cutoff of serotonin. It's a chemical that you need, that brain needs to release to make you feel happy. So if you sit here maybe and you weren't happy this morning for something, it's because there's no serotonin. And that's why there's lekker happy pilletjies by die dokter. Wat hierdie goeters losmaak en weer serotonin gooi en dan is jy die happiest, as jy die happy pill, maar as jy die happy pill af, as jy van hom af is, goodness gracious. Nou wat gebeur volgende? Want dit dan nie serotonin is nie. Dit is precies, dis die definisie van depressie. That's what happened to Elijah. Why was depressed? There was nothing in him that could make him happy. Because he believed the lie that he felt. Wasn't even true. It wasn't true. But he felt that he's not good enough. God is not really there for him. God is not supporting him because this king, Jezebel, just made an order to kill him. You see, and the next thing after that is now we are looking for something to encourage us. So this is the reason why I drank so much, why I smoked, why I did all these things. I don't speak sins this morning. Why I did it. Because that made me feel happy. I remember when people came to me sometimes and I had a couple of police coffees in, Brannewin and Coke. And I remember there at the old showgrounds that time, somebody was bothering me about the smoke. Boom, I knocked him. Just because he was taking me on about my smoking. Because that's the only thing that made me feel happy then. It wasn't really a crutch. It was something that released the serotonin and dopamine into my body to make me feel that I'm happy. So the moment I stopped it, I was unhappy because I had a replacement to encourage me. You see, and that's what we sometimes have in life. We have all these crutches and things that we bring into our life to replace the real thing that the Holy Spirit can give us. So when we have this and we feel depressed now we know what's depression, we use this thing, the moment it works out of the body, or the next morning. I remember those years. Baie van julle ken die Afrikaans en hulle praat van 'n bang babbelas, né? Jene mense, jy is soos 'n ou wat op crack is. Hy is bang vir alles. En as dit 'n chopper is, dan dink jy, dit is my ouens wat my kom soek. En what did I do last night? And you don't know. And then comes in shame and guilt. Man, and that's where the enemy wants us. The moment you feel guilty, that you feel, wow, I'm not a real parent, man. I'm not a good kid to my parents, and I'm not a good parent to my kids. I'm not good enough. I don't feel loved. That's where Satan wants you. Guess what? Discouragement. No serotonin. Back to my crutch, and it's a vicious circle. My life. and I never get out of it. You see, because sometimes even doctors say, use this, you will get over it. You will never get over it, because to move from discouragement into encouragement is not a process. It's something, it's a choice. It's a choice to make immediately. I remember that day, I was really, that's why I always admire one of my spiritual sons. He stays down in Belito. He still smokes, but he serves the Lord. I don't speak to him about his cigarettes, because it's not the cigarette keeping away. God sees the heart. And I wish people will stop judging and stop trying to get people to do what they want them to do. And just focus. I mean, his heart is so pure before the Lord. He cries sometimes before me. See, he wants to. See, Futa, don't worry. Futa was a man, 136 kilograms pure muscle in those years. He was one of my guys in the police. And I know that he's going to stop. You see, and this morning, maybe there's things in your life. That's why, don't focus on the wrong things in your life to get rid of everything, because we can't bargain with God like Satan is bargaining. Lord, I will leave this smoking and then you heal me. I will leave this, Lord, and then I will serve you. No. Make a choice. Yeah or nay. And that's a process. After that, I remember when I stopped. Yeah. It was a battle. I knew that it was a battle. I want to tell you something. If you think as a Christian it's going to be easy, you show me where there's peace on the battlefield. Amen? Is there peace on the battlefield? We are in a battle. So there won't be always peace. The enemy doesn't like what we even do this morning. He was attacking me from yesterday. This morning, because I can move now and I can walk. I couldn't get out of bed this morning. I could not walk from here to there this morning with my back. I could not. I couldn't sit. I couldn't walk. I could just lay down. You see, because he doesn't like what we are doing. You see, now, the number one, what do we do to get rid of discouragement? Number one, first, we have to give up our right to understand. You know, we sometimes feel we have a right to understand. Lord, the understanding, your word says that you will give us the revelation and the understanding of the word. But it's not always our right to understand. Sometimes God says it. We believe it, and that settles it. That settles it. Because the thing is, if we're going to start, we can't bargain with God. So let faith become before our understanding. Know that God is in control, and is always higher, and will take care of us and of you. I want to read something. Isaiah 55:9. He says, heaven is higher than earth, so on my way is also higher than yours. So is my thoughts. You see, God is there. We need to stop. I don't know why it happens, but when we get onto that mountain after we've been saved, it's almost we are in a position of authority, inferiority. We work the love of God downwards. That's where we go wrong. We're always to work from the bottom up. It's always about Him. He does it. It's never about me and you. And I want you to remember this in everything that you do. It's never about me. It's all about Him and the glory of His name and His will and His way and His purpose in your life. You maybe sit this morning. What is womb? 72. When you get here, we go in retirement. Womb, you are in refirement. Amen. Refirement. Our job, our purpose never stops. I don't know why it's like that. The moment you get an age and the church gets rid of you, jy moet nou pastoor moet op Marite gaan. Nou moet hy by die huis gaan sit en stok oud word en dood gaan. Why? Your job never stops. God has a purpose in every one of your life sitting here this morning. In your context. And this is, so don't be discouraged, because sometimes the prosperity, specific in the spirit of other people, we look up to people and say, wow, Mossy, man, look at Pastor Mossy. Gee, I want to be like him. I want to speak like him when he goes out to the bikers. Look what God is doing through him. You are not Mossy. You are not. You are not Jan. God is going to use you and you, your perfect, unique way to reach people that I cannot and Mossy can't reach. In your context, your place, when people get saved, they want to sell everything and go become missionaries. Why? Man, there should stand, now you enter the mission field. That's the mission field the moment you walk out of the church. In your context, your work, your place, your family, that's where God wants to use you. Acts 3, verse 19 says, we have to repent so that sin can be blotted out. You see, discouragement results from condemnation by Satan, which bring on guilt and fear. Romans 8, 1, I think, says, for those in Christ, there will be no more condemnation. No more. So when you're saved, don't condemn yourself. Why is it that we are the person that's the toughest on you this morning, you yourself. Isn't it true? And I know that in this house this morning, there's couples sitting here that had a lekker rol before they came. She has a little, ek weet mos hoe gaan dit by die huis. Oor stupid goed, hè? Ons het jouself, ek en my vrou, my goodness, oor wie het die koppie waar gesit? So what? Dis nou ek gewees, né? Baie, excuse. Wat maak het saak wie die koppie waar gesit? Bære die ding. Maar ons fight oor die goed. En ons discourage mekaar, want die vijand wil split bring. Ek wil een speciale woord geef vir couples here today. I want to tell you something. There is no bigger, greater, mightier power than unity between a husband and wife. Man, you can turn cities and countries around if you are in unity. That's the other thing with discouragement. If you stay in unity. Now that unity, where does it become? Fathers, men, waar denk jy begin het? You. At your personal altar. You see, there's a few altars. There's a personal altar in your life that will keep discouragement away. That personal altar is time, dads, specifically the dads and the men sitting here. You need to spend time with God, not with your wife every morning pray. That you can do as well. But there need to be time where you go to that special place. If it's your bike outside, kneeling at your bike for God, do that. That's your special place. And you seek the face of the Father. And once you have restored your personal altar, you have removed immediately. You don't have to fight discouragement. God will fight it on your behalf because you're in a relationship with the Father. Discouragement will be replaced by encouragement. And then you can go to your family, dads, men, and you restore your family altar. You see, if you don't have a family altar, it doesn't help you to come to church because the church will be broken. Because the church will be a place of broken family altars. And all the church can do is to fix that. But still, from there, you need to go home. Fathers, moms as well. And find your secret, quiet place you spend with God. And then, you are directly opposing discouragement in your life. You see, there's three very important relationships that has an impact on our lives. The first one is my relationship with Father God. But how is that determined? That is normally determined by my relationship that I had with my own father. So if I had a broken relationship with my father, I normally will not have a very good relationship with the father. I need to restore that. Once that is restored, I will like myself and I will be able to have a relationship with myself, secondly. And then only I will have successful relationships with others. So it starts with the personal. That's how we're going to oppose discouragement in our lives. You see, hey? The third one is yourself. I said, yeah, second one is yourself. Third one is others. Yeah, you're right. You see, the helper. That's not critical, what she did now. It was helping me. Thank you, my darling. Secondly, measure your growth and success by obedience in God and not by your own expectations that we've just spoken about. Like Elijah, like John, they saw themselves in the context where they were in that dark place at that moment, and they had expectations from God, and that's why they spoke out negative, and they had negative thoughts. You see, you need to stay in obedience with God. You know what? When I was in the police, I was part of the occult unit as well with Kobus Jonker. We came many years, and I remember when I got saved. Before that, I ran away. I was never part of when they started this. The devil's age, no, I just removed myself. And I was part of that. And then one day God showed me the most powerful tool he has to get rid of the enemy. James 4:7. And this is what I'm telling you this morning, to be in obedience, to submit. If you submit to God, resist, not fight, and jaag en olies, en, but ek hoor as mense, hulle slaan die ou met die Bybel oor die kop, en jy was 'n vrou in die Oosterland, sy het sommer rooi wijn in die bad, gaan met in die bad, en gooi sy rooi wijn, en slaan sy om die borrel, die kop, al sy funny goed. God says, submit to me, that means come in obedience with me, my law, my everything, everything, in obedience with me, submit to me, resist the devil, and he must flee. Not will, he must flee. So if you're in obedience with God in a relationship, you can only be obedient to your father if you have a relationship. So that's the first thing we need to restore today, is to bring restoration to our personal altars in our life, to get rid of discouragement. You see, expectations bring fear because we always compare ourselves, especially ladies, in anything, in the ministry, in dressing, in everything. The way we look, we always compare. Because why? Because she doesn't hear enough from her husband that she's pretty and beautiful. It's all a woman wants. It's all your wife wants, sir. Turn to your wife and say, you are beautiful. Tell her this morning. Tell her, you are beautiful. And you give her a kiss on the cheek. Confirm. Affirm that she's the most beautiful woman in your life. And now I could see just when I look, how tough it was for some men. Why? And men always want to hear you respect him and thank you for the grass and thank you that you've done the dishes. Thank you for the nice meal. That's me. That's you things you hear. Thank you for the nice meal you cooked for me. True, there's my wife. So I cook, I wash the dishes. So ladies, let them stand up. Okay. They must help in the house. They must help with the cause, eh? Right. So stay focused on obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 states, behold to obey. See, it says behold. To obey is better than sacrifice. Why do we always have to sacrifice? And that's why. Because we get to a place we're so discouraged that what we do is we don't obey. So we sacrifice, and we get Old Testamentic by bringing sacrifices because, you know what? That's how much God loved me. I just give myself. That's why I'm in the state that I am. I don't have money. This is the way because that's my sacrifice. No. It's again about me, not about God. And what I will do is I will get an email later on and I will send all the notes for those who want it. All right. Almost there. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, take the shield of faith and so quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, Elijah for a moment laid down his shield. And that's why he was in discouragement. Hebrews 4:12 says, this is the third one, before I read that, be saturated by the word of God. Be saturated, drenched. You see, even if you don't, I know there might be young Christians here that's not having a relationship with the Father and through Jesus for a long time. Just take Psalms and John and just read it every day. God will, that word will saturate you. It will. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word is living and more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. As Elijah, we are also tempted that God has rejected or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5 says, God will never leave or forsake you. Always remember, this is how it works. I'm always careful. Tonight, I'm going in prayer. Late, tomorrow morning, early, I have to, because the attacks come on me and my family tomorrow. After this high of today, there comes always a low. It's like a roller coaster. To build up speed, you need to take a dip a little bit, just to get that enough speed for the next high. Always remember, Satan didn't even spare Jesus. He wanted him in discouragement. That's why he brought all the sins. No, come on. You can have all these kingdoms. This is what you can. Just bow before me. And what did Jesus use every time that Satan came to deceive him? He gave him word. Word. He quoted scripture and God and Jesus quoted scripture back to him. So that's the most powerful. So 1 Kings 19:10. Now, this was Elijah. Just before his great breakthrough, he almost listened. Then 1 Kings 19:10 and 14. Twice in this chapter, Elijah comes and tells the Lord that he's always obeying him and he's done his best. But now your people are breaking the altars. Your people are killing the prophets. Look what he's doing. Putting the blame on God. And that's why at the end he was in discouragement. You see, it's not about God. It was all about himself. And that's a recipe for discouragement. You see, because after that, God showed him. And he said, listen, in the last verse of that chapter, he said, I will save 7,000 will not be killed. 7,000 will not be killed. You see, his success was rejecting all fear and guilt. Fourth one, I'm ending off with, focus and learn the habit of giving thanks. You see, when we minister to the Lord, you see, worship, God has got the angels. You don't have to sing beautifully, nothing. Just come in a place of worshiping with God because he's already worshiping. You get into his presence. All you do is just ministering to him. What amazing God he is. And give thanks. And also make a plan of giving thanks to the people that have imparted in your life. Your children, your wife. How many times do they tell our wives how beautiful they're best and thank you for that time and that. We need to do that. See, there's a little story of this girl. Her mom had a very horrible skin. Oh, like burn marks. But her mom always put on skirts. And she always said, Mom, no, don't leave, drop me at school here. Drop me there. She was always ashamed of her mother. And this really brought discouragement in her life for a mom to bring her mom to her friends or take her friends home. And one day she couldn't take her mom. I asked you so many times. My friends is coming over. You didn't do this. Why don't you cover that ugly marks on your legs and your arms? Where did you get it, by the way? She said, when you were small, there was an electricity fault. Your room caught fire. I ran in with a wet blanket, and I saved you. You see, we need to give thanks. We always focus on the negative we see. We focus on the behavior, what we see. But remember, before that behavior, there was either God intervention or Satan intervention, and there's also a value system, which is the Word of God. You see, to give thanks, in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. See, we are highly valued by God. He has a purpose in everyone's life. So start today, think and focus and recall all the blessings the Father has brought in your life. All the blessings. Don't focus on what you do not have. Focus on what you have this morning. You sit here and you can blink your eye. You remember, if you don't blink your eye, you go blind. How many of you thought that you don't even think once a day of to breathe in or out? We just breathe. You see, let us all stand. Maybe somebody can just play something. I just want to end off. I've written let's call it a psalm, a declaration that I just want to speak, and everyone can pray in the hearts. Can we stand? And if there's somebody, maybe you can put soft music or something. Thank you very much. So, Father, we know that your encouragement will remove discouragement out of our lives today. You say, arise and place all trust in me. Because a new season has unfolded, a season of blessings and prosperity. Father, we want to recall all the blessing in our lives. Please position our hearts in faithful obedience and encouragement in you. Today we arise and report as warriors of encouragement. Yes, courageous soldiers of Christ. Father, allow us to see and understand the full purpose you have in our lives. Yes, Lord, release a new sound crowned with a joy. At the harp of your throne, leave me pathways to your place of worship and channel us into greater and higher expectations into your kingdom. Father, release now a new sound speaking into the deep of our hearts to pass. Let the sound of our hearts this morning come in unity, so this season will be dripping in blessings of abundance of your glory and strength. Father, put an ear to the fire in our voice and thank you that we know we are deeply valued by you, so we can resist Satan's tools of discouragement. Father, we give up to you right now to understand. We pour out our hearts, O Lord, and want to stay focused and in obedience with you. Invade our hearts with the truth of your word. Saturate us with your presence, so we can give thanks as you pour out the wonders of your glory. We want to pray without understanding and ceasing. We want to be enfolded with the gladness of your glory. By our praise, you promise we will execute judgment written in your word against the enemy. Today we arrive, and in our hearts, we bring honor before you, so we can overcome disappointments that can lead to discouragement. God says, I am your Lord, and in this new season, I bring, and I've got a vision for you, a vision in my glory and your lives. And he says, do not let disappointment make you grow weary while you're doing good. And he promises that you will reap even if you lose. Do not lose heart. Today I declare peace and loving kindness, Father, and encouragement, and that all the earth will shout your name. Our hearts will sing how great you are. Flood this place with your presence, Lord. Let the flood of your praise lift us. Let the flood of your breath fill our lungs. We worship you, Lord, in the beauty of your holiness and glory. Your righteousness shall be revealed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen.